And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Underline, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now that's not, we made that in the cuss word. It's not a cuss word. It means fatherless son. That's why it's a profanity. You're calling somebody a fatherless son when you say that word. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which are hanged down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Amen. In God's inspired, infallible word, Hebrews chapter 12, speaking to the children of God, he said, now there's a lot of people watching us. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And he said, so we'll lay aside everything that would hinder us, because they're watching us. And he said, we'll run this race that we're in, this race of life, we'll run this thing with patience, because hard times do come, and chastening from God does come. And he said, when that happens in verse 2, you look unto Jesus, who is the author of your faith, and he's the finisher of your faith, because he endured the cross and despised the shame, but he rose from the dead. Now he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, and he's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's standing in our place. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. And he says, look to him. And then think about him. He endured contradiction of sinners. He endured being despised and afflicted. So that in the last part of that verse, I told you to underline it, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, now you've not resisted the blood. Nobody's beaten you. Nobody's killed you for what you believe, for the way you're living, for your faith, for your walk with Christ. But they did the Lord. He died in your place. He took your whipping. But he said, now sometimes the Lord whips us himself. And he said, every father whips his children. And if a father loves his children, he will chasten his children. I mean, they run out in the road. You tell them a couple of times, finally you're going to whip them, because you'd rather them cry over your whipping than die over getting hit by a car because you love them. Amen? So therefore, every father chastens his children. He said, but they do it for their own pleasure, because if you're well-behaved and well-mannered, then their life is easier. He said, but listen, God does it for your benefit. God chastens you to form you, to mold you, to make you and re-break you into what you need to be, so that when you get to heaven, he'll get the glory, he'll get the honor, and while you're here, you'll have a better life. See? And then he said, nobody likes it. Verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peacefulness of fruit of righteousness. He says, so lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight your paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, to keep you going, to keep straight. Now, God's trying to tell us something. He says, where to look in hard times. Where to look to keep going. Where to look to be victorious, to be the Christian you really want to be anyway. Everybody wants to be a good Christian. And he's saying that there's some people, you're just going to have to endure chastening. You're going to have to endure pain. You're going to have to endure heartache and trouble and disappointment. And by the way, if anybody sold you a bill of goods and told you that the Christian life is a bed of roses, they lied to you. The devil paid you no attention until after you got saved. That's when he jumped on your case, after you got saved. Before that, you were one of his. He didn't bother you. And don't expect to go to heaven on flowery beds of ease. You're not going to do it. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That won't be changed. But the road there gets tough sometimes. And God allows that. He allows that. It makes you a better Christian. Sometimes it makes you a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better friend, whatever. Chastening is good for you. Now, in our day, a lot of people expect other people to rescue them. They're looking to the wrong ones. Sometimes it's our fault. People see it that way because we rescue them and thereby we get in God's way of His chastening, or His sifting, or His molding, or His making of them, and we get in their way, and we mess it up, see? Because why would they want to look to Him, the author and finisher of their faith, when they got mama to look to? Or daddy to look to? Or big brother, big sister, or maybe the government, or maybe down at the church house. And boy, we'll jump in and people's being chastened, they're being molded and made into what God wants them to be. They're having hard times, yes, and we sympathize with them and we jump right between them and God because God is wanting to do something in their life and we get in and rescue them. Now, we didn't grow up in church, we weren't Christian before my mama got saved. And after she got saved, she was a Christian, and we were not because we were teenagers. She couldn't do nothing with us. But here's what she told us. If you get yourself in jail, you'll get yourself out. That's exactly what she told us. But a lot of people, all their kids got to do is call up mama, and she'll come pay any amount. She'll hock the house and hock the car and sell everything she's got to pay their bail and get them out. And she ruins the whole thing that would have helped them. I went to jail one time when I was 15 years old. One time. That night, in the old Lancaster County Jail. I mean, nasty, dirty place. Got them big old bars. They didn't have glass. They had bars, you know, big old bars on the window. Me looking out that little hole wanting to go home. And I never prayed. That night I prayed. Amen. When they brought me that bologna and egg sandwich you could bounce off the wall the next morning, I prayed and it wasn't grace over the food either. I knew I didn't want to be in a place like that. And I said, Lord, if you'll get me out of here, I'll never come back again. And even though I wasn't saved, I was very careful not to do anything that would put me back in the Lancaster County jail. Amen. Now, I had a prison ministry, but it wasn't because I got locked up and got converted. It's because I come from the outside in on Monday nights. I did not, in Chester County Jail, I wasn't a resident. I was a visitor. You know, a lot of men get locked up, all of a sudden they get religion, and they become preachers, you know, while they're in jail. And they start a jail ministry. Well, they should have done that before they went to jail. Amen? But the point being, we rescue people. We get in the way. Now, ladies, I know you ain't going to like this, but every once in a while, a little boy needs to cry. And if he skins his knee, let him cry a little bit. Make a man out of him. Come on. Every once in a while you need to look at a boy. These boys, what are you, 13? I'm tired. I said, you're 13 years old. You don't even know what tired is. You ain't never been tired a day in your life. You ain't never worked. You don't know nothing about tired. If you was tired, you'd go to bed and go to sleep. Amen. When you're tired, you don't need any pills to put you to sleep. Bless God. You'll go to sleep. Amen. I'm bored. You're 13 years old. Get up and go do something. Amen. Play in the creek. Dissect some frogs. Kill some snakes. Do something. Amen. You're not bored. You're lazy. Because mama has done everything for you. I'm hungry. All day long they're hungry, brother. In the morning, in the summertime, we put on the same pair of shorts, I think, every day. And they were just blue jeans that we had left over from school that we cut with a pocket knife. We didn't wear shirts, didn't wear... We never even heard of a flip-flop. We heard of Maypops. Some of y'all ain't never even heard of Maypops. Tastes like grapes. But we never heard of flip-flops. The bottom of our feet was as tough as old tire. Amen. Y'all remember that? The only thing could penetrate it was a rusty nail. We even had them. What'd you do? Pull it out and pour some kerosene on it. Amen. Kerosene will kill anything. Amen. We didn't have no antibodies and soap water. Amen. But we want to rescue people. We want to rescue people. We want to... they're having a hard time. And everybody... Look, everybody has a hard time. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through tribulation. It's God's way of sifting us. Some of y'all don't even know what sifting is. My mom used to have one of them old sifters. You put flour in it, you do that, and it comes out. It gets the bugs out. You didn't know you had bugs in your flour? Sure you do. You put it through that sifter and you get the bugs out and eat it. What about the bugs get in there? It's a little protein. It didn't hurt nothing. Just sift it. Y'all didn't do that? Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Am I telling the truth? Amen. And you get the bad parts out. You sift it. Well, God says He does that to us. He sifts us like wheat. He gets that chafe, that old part that ain't no good. You can't eat it. It's not good for anything. He separates that from the good part, and you got to sift it to do that. See? And we want to jump in there and stop the sifter so you won't cry. Good thing your mama ain't here today. We want to get in God's way of growing people. Did you know a little pain's good for growth? How many of y'all, when you was teenagers, you'd say, you'd look at your mom or dad, you'd say, my elbow's hurt. And they'd say, shut up, it's just growing pains. Go on. You remember that? Yeah. Well, preacher, I just don't agree with that. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to hurt a lot of people by trying to rescue them when what they need is exactly what they're going through. And I'm going to shock you. Did you know I worked in a cotton mill and there wasn't no air conditioning? Did you know I worked in the Rock Hill Printing and Finishing and there wasn't no air conditioning? Did you know he works in a place that has no air conditioning? Is that right? And did you know it hadn't killed him yet? Now, eating sweet stuff may kill him, but sweating will never kill this man. And you want to know why he stays there? It's your job. Hey, he has a hot job. Danny does too. Danny's is a hard job. His ain't. He's a welder. but they're mean to him. They talk mean to them.
You remember working in the cotton mill? The supervisor, it was his job to make you miserable. That's his job, to make you miserable so you work harder. You know why they don't quit? They got good benefits. And they got good pay. And they like to eat. And they like to own a house. And they like to drive an automobile. There's some good benefits to suffering. Amen? Amen. See, some of y'all thought you stay at home, people send you checks. That ain't never happened to me yet. Unless it was a tax return, they owed that to me anyway. Amen. It's hard. There's hard times. But we don't need to hinder God's plan in people. Now look, if you're going through some things right now, I just got thinking about this. Let me show you some way through God's Word how to get some real permanent help. Not temporary stuff, okay? If we help you, it's going to be temporary. We might help you one time. You know, people come down and say, "Preacher, we need some help with the power bill." Well, we're not going to pay your power bill every month. We might do it one time. It's temporary. Amen? A lot of folks have run out of kin folks and people that love them because they used them up. They done used all their one times. You know, everywhere they go, they got their hand out. But I'm going to show you how to get some real help. Turn to 1 Corinthians 16:13. Hurry. 1 Corinthians 16:13. He says, as children of God, we're going to be chastened. We're going to endure hard times. 1 Corinthians 16:13. How do I get through this, preacher? I'm having a hard time. How do I make it through? Verse 13. Watch ye. Stand fast in faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Determine not to keep going through whatever it is that brought you to the point where you are. Quit that. Stand strong. Hey, be somebody. We got a bunch of weak-kneed, lily-livered, spineless Christians. Sometimes you just need to determine not to stay there. You don't have to be discouraged. That's up to you. You can be discouraged if you want to, but that's up to you. You don't have to stay that way. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to quit. Well, I used to go to church, but I got my feelings hurt. Join the club. You don't want to be a pastor. Get my feelings hurt every week. Sometimes I don't even know they're talking about me. It hurts my feelings. Because I believe they are. But stand. Hey, stand up. Throw your shoulders back. Say, I don't have to be like this. I can get out of this. I don't have to live like this. And then, look, you don't have to be stopped. Some people say, well, I got discouraged and I quit. Why'd you do that? Because you wanted to. You thought it would feel better to quit than it would be to go on. But now you done figured it out, that now that you quit, you're more miserable than you would have been if you'd have stayed in the chastening and the sifting, because God one day would have got through with it.
Amen.
And now you've ruined it. You don't have to stop. Well, I used to teach Sunday school, but. I used to sing in choir, but. I used to do this, but bunch of billy goat Baptists all over here. But. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to stay that way. But preacher, it hurts. Yes, it does. But keep going anyway. Hey, you'll get over it after a while. Amen. Matter of fact, you'll probably build some muscle where it hurts. Amen. Number two, Judges chapter 12. Look at it, verse 3. Judges chapter 12. I said some ways to get through the pain, the hurt, the problems that we're going through. Sometimes it's of the Lord. You endure it. You endure chastening. You stand still. You stand up. You stay right with God. You don't have to get discouraged. You don't have to quit. Number 2, look at Judges chapter 12, verse 3. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? He said, you wouldn't help me. You wouldn't do anything. So I took care of it myself. I put my life in my own hands. Y'all listen to me. Listen. Why would you want to turn your life over to anybody else anyway? I don't want the government running my life. I don't. I don't want them to know what I'm doing, where I'm doing it all this time. Look, I don't want them to send me a paycheck, because if they send me a paycheck, then I got to answer to them. They're my boss. Fellow walked in church office one day. He said, "Pastor, I want to show you how your church can own its own buildings and still profit $150,000 a year profit." I said, "How you do that?" He said, "It's a government program." And then he began to tell me how we could build an Alzheimer's unit and keep 10 people. And the government would give us so much money. And it would give us enough money. He had a detailed list there. They would pay these nurses this much, and these nurses this much, and these visiting doctors this much, and they'd pay to build the building, they'd pay for the furniture, they'd pay for everything we needed, and every year you would still, by that government money, you'd still come out $150,000 ahead. I said, "I don't want it." He said, "Why would you not want that? They're going to build you a church. They're going to build you the facilities. They're going to hire. They're even going to bring the people in to do the interviewing and hire the employees, and you're going to come out $150,000 ahead." I said, "But I'm also going to come out answerable to the U.S. government, and I don't want to answer to them because they're not going to like what I preach. And they'll take that money away. Then what am I going to do?" Amen. He said, "You wouldn't help me. You wouldn't come up when I was in trouble. I had a fight and you wouldn't come stand beside me. So I took my life in my own hands and I did it myself." He said, "Now you're coming around. I don't need you." See, here's how you get through hard times, bad times, troubled times, sifting times. Here's what you need to do. You need to realize that others cannot help you. They can't help you. This is a spiritual battle, see. Now, if anybody ever wants to jump on you physically, call me. I'll help you. Between me and you, I think we can pretty well take care of them. But see, your problem's not physical, it's spiritual. Our problem's spiritual. And mama can't help you spiritually. She can pray for you. Amen? How many times, now I was youth pastor in three churches, how many times have I had parents look at me and say, "My children are Christians"? And I said, "Well, how do you know?" "Well, they're my children." I say, "God don't have no grandchildren. Your children were not born Christian just because you're a Christian. They must be born again too. Hey, our children must get saved. We can't help that. They've got to stand up for themselves and go to the Lord theirself and get saved." Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we can't help people. They've just got to decide that I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to live like this. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm taking my life in my own hands. I'm going to the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to ask Him to help me, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to do what I got to do, and nobody else, I'm not depending on nobody else. Never, never depended on anybody else in my spiritual life. That's my job. Me and the Lord, we've got to do this.
Amen.
Just because you go to church don't save your husband.
Amen.
He's got to do that. Your wife not saved just because you got saved. She's got to do that. Your children's not saved just because you're saved. They've got to do that. And by the way, they're not going to grow spiritually just because you're growing spiritually. They've got to decide that they want to be a good Christian.
Don't expect others to help you. Some will, but I wouldn't count on it. Take charge. Do it yourself anyway. Don't wait. Do it quickly. We all have hard times. We all have failures. We all have defeats. We all have downfallings. And nobody can help us. People feel sorry for us. They sympathize with us. But they can't help us. You've got to determine, Brother Ron, me and you, we got to determine, I don't have to do this. I don't have to be backslid. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be hot. Go turn the air conditioner down another notch. to me. Listen, somebody's got to do it. Amen. Sometimes I walk into a room, here's what my wife says, you're not in charge here. That's the first thing she tells me everywhere I go, you're not in charge here. And I say, who's in charge? I need to talk to them. Amen. Any of y'all ever felt like that? You go in somebody's house, it's total chaos. You think, somebody's got to do something here. Right. They ain't going to do it. I'm going to do it, bless God. Somebody's got to get this place in order. Amen. Every time I walk in Walmart, I feel like that. We're not even talking about Dollar General. Amen. Listen, somebody has got to make up their mind, Brother David. I'm just taking my life in my own hands. I know you got some good advice for me. I know that you have good intentions for me. But only me and God knows what needs to be done. And I'm going to start doing it now, whether you like it or not, whether you join me or not. I'm taking my life in my own hands. I'm going to stand up and I'm going on. And it may hurt a little bit at first because I'm sore and I'm sick and I'm tired and I'm lonely. But I'm going on anyway. And if you want to go, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I'm not living for you. I'm not trying to please you. I'm living for Him, pleasing Him. And if that doesn't like you, if you don't like that, that rubs you the wrong way, you might want to find somebody else to be your friend. Used to be I was scared to death, but now I just say, look, I'm taking my life in my own hands. If you don't like my family, that's fine. Go get your own family. You take that in your hand. Hey, if you don't like the way I serve God, that's fine. I'm not doing it your way. I'm doing it the way I think He wants me to do it. And then Ephesians 5:16, real quick, y'all not listening. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what you need to do? You need to quit saying next week. Tomorrow. Next year. He said redeeming the time. That means buying it back. Because the days are evil. If you don't get busy, and if you don't start right where you're at, you'll never start. And you'll be in that dump for the rest of your life. You'll be in that depression for the rest of your life. You'll be defeated for the rest of your life. You need to quit saying, next week I'm going to the altar. Next week I'm going to rededicate my life. Next week I'm going to start tithing. Oh, did I say tithing? Next week I'm going to start witnessing. Next week, I'm going to quit this ungodly, filthy habit. Next week, I'm going to start loving people more. Oh, shut up. Get up. Start right now redeeming the time because the days are evil. What they say, there's no better time than the present. More people ruin their whole family because they keep putting things off. And they're going to start doing things. Well, I'm going to start my kids in Sunday school next week. No, do it this week. Well, I'm going to start teaching my children better next week. No, start today, right now. Today is the day of salvation. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may not be here next week. Your children may not be here next week. If you want to get out of that hole, you want to get to where you ought to be with God, you want the kind of Christian life you want, you need to do it right now. You don't need to wait for better circumstances. You don't need to wait for a better place. You don't need to wait for a better time. It may take a long time, but there's no better time than right now to start right now. There's no better place. It's just right here, right now. I've had people leave this church and say, well, I'm going to go to this other church and I'm going to start doing this and that over there. I said, well, why don't you do that right here? Come on now. Yeah. Well, that's a bigger church. They got better facilities and more members and all that. Well, you won't do it over there. If you're not doing it here, you won't do it somewhere else. This is the easiest church you'll ever do something right here. You'll never find more people that will agree with you more or love you more or put up with you more than this church right here. In this church, you can make mistakes and people just look right over it and love you anyway.
Now you go on, you wait till next week and you find a better place. You're going to find out it ain't as better as you thought it was going to be better. Do it right now. Right now. Today's the day. Quit putting it off. You say, well, I'm depressed. Get busy. Well, preacher, I'm discouraged. Get up. Pick yourself up and get going. Amen. Work through it. How many drunks and drug addicts have I talked to that said, well, preacher, you know, I had this bad time in my life. I said, well, how long ago was that? They said, well, that was 20 years ago. I said, well, ain't about time to get over it.
Amen.
Build you a bridge and go right over top of whatever it is that's hindering you and quit it. Quit it! But it hurts. Exercise hurts. Amen? Do it. Start right now. Start right now. Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I'm sorry. Verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Do you know what he's saying? Get God's help. Get God's help. Get God's help. Except the Lord build a house. God's got to be in on it. Get God's help. God help me with this. People want to help you. And some of the people that want to help you are the wrong people. And they're going to help you. But it's not going to be good. And then there's some good people that want to help you. But if they help you, then it's going to ruin what God's trying to do. So get God's help. Say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I'm coming to you and I'm putting it all on you. And if I stay in depression the rest of my life, it's you that left me there. If I stay despondent, it's you that left me there. If I stay discouraged, it's you that left me there. God, I'm trying to build a good Christian home. I'm trying to build a good Christian life. And if you don't help me, God, I'm going to fail. God, help me. Get God's help. There's help agencies all over this town. People come to this church and they'll stand out there at the front door, back door, won't even come into the services and have their hand out, and they want somebody to pay their rent or pay their light bill. And look, I know people have hard times, but I asked them, I said, how long you been having trouble? Well, I ain't worked in 15 years. I said, there's something wrong with you. And you go to all these help agencies and they help you, and that sometimes is the problem. When I was growing up, we didn't have welfare. We didn't have food stamps. We had food. Green stamps, that's right. Grocery store. Stay out of my preaching. We had food stamps in the backyard. We called it a garden. Old man with an old mule come out there and plowed up our garden every year, and we got dirty and we got hot. And we got tired. And we grew some stuff that we could eat in February. Amen. Now, you know that didn't hurt us. Well, preacher, that would kill me. My mama's 98. It didn't kill her. It was good for us. Well, preacher, I got to go to the gym. Grow your garden, man. That's the best gym you'll ever have. Amen. Get you a job. That'd be a good... Amen. Get God's help. Romans 10:17, stay in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's not time to quit reading your Bible when you're having those hard times. It's time to get in the Bible. God might have let you get laid off so you could read the Bible a little while. Amen. God might have put you up in the house where you can't get out so you could study the Word and pray. Stay in the Word. Stay around the Word. The more Word, the more faith. Amen? Go to church. Amen. Why is it that people, whenever they're having hard times or discouraged or despondent or depressed, the first thing they want to do is get out of church? Church is the place where the people will encourage you and they'll bless you. And sometimes they'll help you and you don't even know how they knew that you needed help. Ain't time to leave. It's time to get in. Amen? You say, me and my husband's having a hard time. Come to church more. It'll convict him every time you leave the house. A lady asked me one time, said the Bible says that that wives ought to obey their husband, and he tells me not to go to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I said, you turn around and look at him next time he says that, and it says obey your husband in the Lord. And say, you don't ever go to church. You never read the Bible. You never go to Sunday school. I'm obeying the Lord. You do what you want to do. I'm going to obey the Lord. Amen? Don't quit. Don't back up. Don't slack up. Don't slow down. Go more. Hey, if we have enough, say, preacher, let's call a prayer meeting. We'll get a bunch of people down here to pray. Whatever. Look, it's time to get in church, not away from church. It's time to get closer to God. You need more teaching, not less. You need more preaching, not less. You need more Sunday school, not less. You need more Christian fellowship, not less. Hey, when you're having a hard time, you're discouraged, you're despondent, you're brokenhearted, you're having a hard time. Hey, more, more, more. That would be the motto, not less, less, less. Well, I'm hurting, preacher. Well, you know, the Bible says that he endured the cross, despising the shame. He was our example. He was our example. Did you know that I've read surveys now that the Christian faith, now that can mean a lot of things nowadays, you know, but the Christian faith is the most persecuted religion in the world now. You know, there's more Christians killed every year now in the world than there is anywhere else. And you sitting over here in an air-conditioned, nice seat, padded on the back and the bottom. And there's people over there getting their head chopped off simply because they say, I'm born-again Christian. And they can't get money, they can't get jobs because they say they're Christians. And there is no government help for them because they say they're Christians. And did you know there's children that are persecuted and not allowed to go to school because they say they're Christians? And we sit in air-conditioned buildings on padded pews and whine and cry and complain. And we don't even look like Christians compared to those people. Amen. Well, I'm going to quit. Saddam Hussein hurt my feelings. You never heard such a stupid thing. Well, I'm going to quit being a Christian. ISIS hurt my feelings. They didn't shake my hand that day down at the mosque. Oh, shut up. We don't even look like Christians compared to those people. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's our example. And listen, we ought to go on. And if you're not a Christian and you're down there, nobody can help you but him. He's been there. He was mocked. He was made fun of. They spit in his face. They slapped him. They beat him. They persecuted him. They laughed at him. And they finally killed him. And you cannot go to heaven without believing on his finished work. Because you know why? He did every bit of that so you wouldn't have to go through that. You see, that's hell. He endured hell on the cross. That was our hell. The Bible says the iniquities of us all was laid on him on that cross, so that you and I wouldn't have to go to hell. Don't nobody love me? Well, God loved, for God so loved. Well, nobody ever does anything for me. Well, Jesus endured to the end for you. If you are a Christian, you know what? Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. I know you get discouraged. I know it hurts. I know you get chastened. I know it hurts. I know we have failures. I know it hurts. We've all been through it. I've been in this since 1978. If you've been through it, I've probably been through it. Most everybody in this room, older Christians, have. But let me tell you something. It ain't about us. It's about him. It's about him. And one day, if we do what I just preached, we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. And then he's going to show us to the Father. And he's going to say, Father, look what I got you. I got you a jewel here, Father. They endured. They didn't give up. They pressed on. They didn't sit down. Hey, they loved me when they felt unlovable.
and they cared about others when they felt like nobody cared about them. Father, here's one of your jewels. I just want to show you what you did, Father. Because it's in Him. It's Him in us that does it anyway. I want to encourage you today. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't sit down. Don't back up. Don't give in to it. Take your life in your own hands. Take it to the cross. Give it to Him. Get up and go on and start over. Maybe some of you ought to get one of them reset buttons and put it on your wall. And every time you feel discouraged, just hit the reset button. We went down to see Franklin Delano Roosevelt's little White House in Georgia. My daughter Suzanne took us down there. And that's where he would stay in the summertime when he would go to those healing springs, they call them down there, for his polio. And he's got a little White House built down, a little beautiful little place, nothing fancy. But there's little buttons all over the place. And that man said that was the alarm button. If anything happened, you just push that button. And there was Marines all around that place, you know, and they'd all show up. So we walked, and I forgot what he said. I walked over. We finally went a little while, got to a little back door, and there was a button. I thought it was a doorbell, so I pushed it. He said, "You done set off the alarm. The Marines are coming." It's a panic button. You don't need a panic button. You just need a reset button. Lord, here I am. I'm back here again, Lord. I done messed up, Lord. I'm in a mess. God, I need some help. My brother, my sister can't help me. The preacher can't help me. The government can't help me. But God, you said if I'd call, you'd answer and show me great and mighty things, which I know not. And I'm not going to quit pushing this button till you answer this call, God. I'm going to keep on pushing the button. God, you said if I'd ask, I'd receive. If I'd seek, I'd find. If I'd knock, it'd be open. God, I ain't quitting, God. Now, you can't lie. Now, here I am, Lord. And some of you need to push the button the first time. You ain't never been saved. You need to just come get saved today. It'd bring you out a lot of that mess. Because He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end." Hey, you'll have somebody to help you then. Let's stand. Father, Your Word...